This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, ready to roll here on a Saturday morning. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solutions with exceptional ball through. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here, and you can also get your questions in via Twitter at ESPN975. Charlie, coming off an incredible week in the world of golf as far as the number ones are concerned. How are we doing this morning?
You know, I'm doing quite well, to be honest with you. Golf is exciting these days. We got a lot going on. As you well know, you're up in Dallas, Fort Worth, covering so how many tournaments you covering this week?
I had two this week, Charlie. I had the Zurich, but my main focus was the Veritex Bank Championship, which is about the, I would say it's the fourth professional event that we've had in Texas so far this golf season.
Well, you know, spring has sprung and the weather's getting better. It's challenging with the wind. The winds are up this year, yep, more than normal, I think. But what a week we had last week in Texas with the ladies. I mean, I was really, really happy to see Nelly do what she did at the great Chevron Championship. I mean, that just really was a great, great event for ladies golf and for golf in general, that everybody is getting so good because of equipment, because of instruction, but also because these athletes are really training themselves to really be good, and their mindset is so superior to what it used to be.
It seems like that. It seems like, Charlie, that Scheffler and Korda share that exact characteristic.
They're two great athletes. You know, Korda, her father was a great tennis player, and she grew up in an environment of competing with her sister and then her brother. The family was always doing something in sports, and you can see the result. Although it doesn't necessarily mean that your parents have to be athletes to be successful at a tour event or at golf or at tennis. I mean, Rory McIlroy's parents were not professionals, but look at, he became number one in the world. So life goes on, and kids have to train themselves.
Yeah, you talk about the next generation, Charlie. You know, where I'm at this week, the Veritex Bank Championship here at Texas Rangers Golf Club. 24-year-old Frankie Sapp in the third shot a 58 in the opening round. It's the third sub-60 round on the Korn Ferry Tour this year. And before we get started, we'll have some Scheffler audio later. We'll have some Korda audio later. But this round that I'm talking about, Frankie Sapp in the third, 58, that happened here on the Korn Ferry Tour. And if, for my average sports fans out there, if you're still unfamiliar with what the Korn Ferry Tour is, think of it as the AAA to the MLB. Think of it as the G League to the NBA. You know, the top 30 players at the end of the Korn Ferry Tour season get their PGA Tour cards. So, Charlie, would you agree with this? I would say there's more opportunity out here than any other developmental sports league in American sports.
Well, and you just take what's happening in high school. High school has all of a sudden, you know, they've always been basketball and baseball and football, the three staples. But now, you know, tennis is strong in high school. But golf has risen to a level where kids are looking forward to trying out for golf and golf scholarships and moving forward to the university through golf. So it's the education that my grandson is involved with golf for the last 4 years, and he's gotten better every year. So, yes, there's opportunities in every sport at every level to become as good as you want to become.
Yeah, I mean, we saw this week, once again, to take it back to the Korn Ferry Tour, Charlie, the last 2 weeks we've seen a 15-year-old by the name of Miles Russell. You know, he topped 20 it last week in Bradenton, Florida at the Leecom Suncoast Classic, and that punched him an exemption into this week's Veritex Bank Championship. Now, he missed the cut by one, but still, you know, in his first, you know, 8 to 9 rounds of professional golf, very impressive stuff. And, you know, world number one Scottie Scheffler met Miles Russell at the Players this year. You know, Russell was invited to watch the pro action after he won the Junior Players, and the media asked Scheffler about it during his winning press conference at the RBC Heritage. Here is Scheffler on Miles Russell.
Like I said, I still thought it was for 59. So when someone said it was for 58, I was excited because I know Scottie Scheffler shot 59. So it, I mean, whenever you can beat that guy, especially nowadays, I mean, you got to take advantage.
Okay, so that was actually that was Frankie Sappen on beating Scottie Scheffler's course record here at the Veritex Bank Championship. A little confusion with the audio there. That was Frankie Sappen after Thursday's round of 58, which broke Scottie Scheffler's course record, which was 59 here at Texas Rangers. Charlie, just the general mindset. You've taught a lot of great champions over the years. You know, what's the secret ingredient behind the mindset of shooting a sub-60 round?
You know, it's really getting accustomed to hitting good shots. And, you know, the old traditional saying, one shot at a time. Don't make one shot more important than the other. Stay focused. Stay in your little, your envelope of good thinking. And with the help of the sports psychologist today and the help of the great coaching, you can get that mindset that all of a sudden that player is, he knows, she or he knows what to think about. And just like Nelly, she has her mind programmed not to get distracted, not to get excited, not to really start thinking about results, stay in the present and thinking about one shot at a time.
You know, and what about for the amateur at home, Charlie? They might be trying to break 90 or to break 80 or to break 70. No matter where they are, there's a level of discomfort that comes when you're just a few holes away from reaching that goal or better.
Well, the discomfort is the unknown. And so they're mind gets away from them, and they start thinking, man, and it's going to be good. All my guys are going to think I'm such a good player. And all of a sudden, they forgot to put the club in their hand. They forgot their target, and they forgot what they were doing. You got to stay in the moment. You got to, you know, you're still playing golf and, you know, until you walk off the 18th green. So stay in the process. The process is a word that Coda was using all that week of, was she going to win 5 tournaments in a row? And she had to stay within her process of executing and also visualizing the shot that at hand, not the trophy. You don't want to, they don't give the trophy out on the 16th green, like Jackie Burke would say. You know, you gotta get to the end. You know, play until the 18th green till you walk off, and then they'll say, "Well, did I win?" You know, that's the mindset. Don't get ahead of yourself.
And that's what Korda must be talking about when she refers to her little focus bubble, Charlie, the little bubble that she resides in for 72 holes.
That's right. She didn't want to worry about jumping into that cold lake. You know, they ask her afterwards. And she kind of looked at, oh, yeah, I got to do that too. You don't want to jump in that lake before you get to 18. You know, you don't walk off the 18th tee and jump in the lake. You got to finish the hole.
And, Charlie, how about the job that Carlton Woods, Emilio Assus, the whole LPGA team, but really focused on Carlton Woods. This is the second year that they've had the Chevron Championship at their golf course. I can't imagine the pressure that they were under to restore the Nicklaus course in less than a year, in between year one and two of the Chevron Championship. But I really thought that Carlton Woods did a really nice job. You know, ESPN Plus had the broadcast on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They brought in some influencers, Charlie. They brought in some influencers to do that, and I thought the broadcast got a little bit sloppy at times. But then once the tournament got on network on the weekend, you had Morgan Pressel, Grant Boone, Tom Abbott. The A team came in and really made it a spectacular broadcast. But you know, number one, I thought Chevron or Carlton Woods and the title sponsors at Chevron did a great job. And number two, I thought, as far as the entertainment level, I thought the broadcast did a really nice job all week highlighting the action.
Well, the volunteers, the hundreds of volunteers it takes to put on a golf tournament over a couple hundred acres. You got people all over the property doing their job and bringing the final results were outstanding. And the membership at Carlton Woods, number one, they give up their golf course, but number two, they work and they have fun doing it. So it was a very successful event, and let's hope that it continues for years to come.
Yep, world number one, Nelly Korda. You know, we just talked about her, but you know, that was her fifth win of the season. And for those that didn't join us last week, we have not seen an American woman win five in a row since Nancy Lopez back in 1978, and we really haven't seen this kind of dominance in the women's game since Annika Sorenstam and Lorena Ochoa in the mid-2000s. So Nelly took the week off this week in L.A. It would have been her sixth tournament in a row. She will have the opportunity, I think she said, at Liberty National here in a few weeks in New Jersey. She will have the opportunity to win six consecutive events in a row, which, you know, and six straight starts, which no one has ever done. So I'll be looking
forward. No one has ever done on the LPGA Tour.
Correct, Charlie, on the LPGA Tour. We're going to have to find out at break who did that on the PGA Tour. And when we come back, we'll have some sound from world number one Scottie Scheffler after his win at the RBC. And we'll get into a little more on the Nelly Korda audio after the Chevron. We'll also hear from Bernhard Langer. Charlie, we got some audio from Langer. He is returning to the Insperity Invitational just 3 months after tearing his Achilles. Charlie, just unbelievable.
Well, he's so old, he probably didn't have much of Achilles to tear. But yeah, it's going to be exciting to watch Bernhard do his deal out at the Insperity Invitational at the Woodlands. He's such a meticulous individual. He's not going to play unless he's ready.
He is not, and we're going to see him next week at the Invitational. As far as the Zurich Classic is concerned, Aaron Ryan, David Lipsky are in a tie for first with three other teams. Those three other teams are Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. You've got Davis Thompson and Andrew Novak at the top. You've got Ryan Brim and Mark Hubbard. Great field there at the Zurich this week after two, you know, loaded fields at the Masters and the RBC Heritage. And then as far as our Korn Ferry Tour action, little-known Griffin Wood is in the lead here at the Veritex Bank Championship after his second round 60. And Frankie Sapp in the third is close by at 17 under, one shot back of the lead, 58-67. For the Florida Gulf Coast alum, Frankie Sappin. So we'll keep you updated on the Veritex Bank Championship and Zurich Classic leaderboards. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
Three fingers in the honeycomb. You ring just like the xylophone. Devoted to the chromosome.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Nice to have everyone with us on a Saturday morning. Charlie, I'm fired up for next week's Insperity Invitational. You'll have Gary Player, Tom Watson, Lee Trevino, Jack Nicklaus will make an appearance. That is April 29th through May 5th, and people can get their free tickets at InsperityInvitational.com, thanks to Insperity and United Healthcare and Hewlett Packard. Charlie, tell us a little bit more about our good friends over at Insperity.
Well, Insperity is a company that just believes in taking care of people. Its people are its customers and its employees. And it's a human resource company by trade, but they also have other talents that they can help the small business person or he or she that has a business that you need some help taking care of some stuff that you don't have time to do, and they can come in and they can help you to find a way to really grow your business. And Sperity is a company that was established in 1986, and they know how to grow businesses. They went from zero to $7 billion in just that short period of time, and it's just been a magical ride, and it's not one of the number one businesses in Houston, Texas, and all its 7,000 employees all over the world, all over the United States, they want to help. So Insperity is a company that we're very proud of. They've been our sponsor from when we started this show. And if you want some help and you want a friendly person on your side, he or she, give them a call, log on to Insperity.com, and I guarantee you, you'll never look back.
And I can guarantee you'll have a great time going out to the Woodlands Country Club next week. That's April 29th through May 5th. Go out and watch the Legends at the Insperity Invitational. John Daly will be doing a long drive competition. You've got the greats of golf playing nine holes. Charlie, it's an event that people don't want to miss, and it's all for free.
Oh, yes, and the Woodlands Golf Course, it's hosted the professionals on the PGA Tour, now on the Champions Tour. So it's a great environment, and take your kids out there and walk with the Giants to golf, and you'll not only enjoy it, but you will have fun. And you'll learn something.
Yep. LPGA stars like Annika Sorenstam and Julie Inkster will be there as well. So we can't wait. Let's get to Scheffler and some sound on Scheffler here. You know, Charlie, a lot of media touts are comparing him to Tiger Woods. I'm not that far yet, as we'll need to see another decade worth of this type of dominance from Scheffler. But we have seen, you know, over the last 5 weeks, this is a player who has asserted himself as the best in the world by a country mile. He does not have a challenger at this point in time. Rory's lost his game. Rahm went to the circus, you know, and we got a feel for Scheffler's mindset in the RBC Champions press conference on Monday morning.
I was able to go home for a couple of days and celebrate, and I didn't really put much thought into it. It was just I had committed to playing the tournament. That's really all that it was. It really wasn't too much thought on that. You know, I committed to play here. It was part of the plan, and so we stuck to the plan. And I talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the week. I didn't show up here just to have some sort of ceremony and have everybody tell me congratulations and whatnot. I came here with a purpose, and got off to a bit of a slow start, but after that I played some really nice golf.
It's very simple, Charlie. He just does not seem to set any kind of breaks or, you know, I know he probably is a player that has goals, but it doesn't seem like he's ever ready to stop or settle down.
He has things in perspective. And Jack Nicklaus always said, don't make golf more important than it really is. And when you start playing poorly like a Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, you make it more important. And you want it so bad, you over-practice, you just get in your own way. Scotty, you know, he has great parents. He went to the University of Houston. He had a great high school program as junior. Every step of the way he's learned and he's matured. And now he's winning at the age of 27. You know, Jordan Spieth came out and won at 23. All of a sudden, you know, his game just shined, but then when it went sour, he hasn't been able to recover to get that final victory. So to be one of the top, Grand Slam of golf for
Charlie. I think a lot of people are wondering about that class of 2011. Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, even Daniel Berger. You know, just coming back from a back injury. What do you think about the status of those, in particular Jordan and Justin? Give us your feel on really where they go from here at this point in the season when they're really struggling.
You know, they have to be patient, and they all have good teams that help them off the golf course, sports psychologists, teachers. They've got families now. They've got to take care of their loved ones, and they travel differently. So You know, you just got to be patient and just let the game come back to them. No, don't force it. And I think they'll be there. I think Jordan will come back and Justin. They're going to have to really be patient.
Yeah. Now, Scheffler doing something we have not seen in a long time. He's only 27 years old. He has 10 wins, with four of those coming in the last 5 weeks. And, you know, the only other player we've seen in golf history win the Masters and win the RBC was Bernhard Langer back in 1985. Charlie, do you see any resemblances in the mental games? I know physically, you know, they're two different specimens, Langer and Scheffler, but from a mental perspective, do you see any resemblances there?
Well, you could probably, you know, they're two quiet persons. They're not flashy. Bernhard Langer is always kept to himself, but he's always been very exact with his discipline and on and off the golf course and he's gone through some bad times. I mean, he missed a putt for the Ryder Cup that would have won it for the European squad. So he's suffered a few downers, but he bounces back. I think Scotty is on that same line. I mean, he can handle disappointment. He's handled success very, very humbly. He's a humble person. He's got his feet on the ground, and so when the time comes when for some reason he's not as good as he is today, he'll be patient, but I see him having a very long career.
Yeah, and I think on the women's side, world number one, Nelly Korda, is in the same boat, and we've seen her weather a couple storms in her career so far. 2022 and 2023 were not years to remember for her. She had the blood clot in the arm and a really scary injury there, but she's come around this year in 2024 and asserted herself as one of the best players in the world. Let's hear from Korda. This was her first answer after winning the Chevron Championship.
Yeah, I mean, in 21 I had an amazing year. Got my first major at KPMG, and just a lot of doubt crept into my mind in 2022 and especially 2023. I heard some outside voices from other people saying that, you know, they don't know if I'll ever be able to win another major again. And I stuck to working extremely hard on and off the golf course, and I'm so thankful to have the team that I do. They've gone through all the highs and lows with me, especially Jason. And I just can't be more thankful for the hard work that each and one of them put into it.
Well, Charlie, I don't know if there's anything we can take away there that we haven't already discussed, unless you have some more thoughts there. But I do think, I'll tell you what's interesting, is this little competition that Scheffler and Korda have going on as far as who's better as far as world number ones. And Scotty spoke about Nelly Korda's 5-tournament win streak and obviously gave the nod to Korda as the best player in the world. Listen in on this.
One of the people here asked me, like, is this turning into a competition between you and Nelly? And I was like, I don't know, man. I think if it's a competition, she's got me pretty beat right now. I mean, 5 wins in a row. You know, she had that T16 at the beginning of the year, which was just terrible. Can't believe she did that. It's pretty special stuff. I mean, to win 4 times in a row and then show up at a major championship and win is extremely impressive. And so I'm extremely happy for her. And, you know, I think we've all seen the golf swing. I wish I could see it more in person, but we don't really run into them too much outside of some TaylorMade shoots and stuff like that. But obviously some great golf, some historic stuff, and you know, hopefully she keeps it up.
So nothing but respect right there between the two world number ones, Charlie.
Well, that where that's going to lead is a television show. You know, let's have a match between Nelly and Scotty, and I think that would be good for television, made for a championship. And they're going to LPGA and the PGA are going to develop a partnership event, and maybe they can become partners and kind of like the partnership tournament that we're playing this weekend in New Orleans, Zurich, you know, two guys paired together playing best ball and alternate shot. I think they'll have to go further down the line and get the LPGA and PGA playing together. It's a good promotion, and it really helps grow the game.
Yeah, there was a couple conversations I heard this week about the Olympics, and this was hypothetical, Charlie, but you know, the Olympics could drop the stroke play and just make it a mixed event, one male, one female team competition. Any thoughts on kind of restructuring the Olympics and where you see the Olympics of golf going?
Well, I think it's fine the way it's playing, and the men's have their event and the ladies have theirs, just like in all the other field sports. The women don't run against the men, and the men don't run against the women, and that kind of thing. I think the separation of the sexes is good for not only the sport, but also for the individuals.
No, that's right. Just pro common sense there, Charlie. On the other side, we're going to get to some teaching questions. We've got a question in on Rory's status as far as the PGA board is concerned. But other than that, Charlie, we've got a list full of teaching questions for you, and we'll get people up to date on the Zurich Classic. Charlie, you finished second at the Zurich 1 year alongside Blaine McAllister. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. My second in a tour event. We did ourselves proud. Blaine and I played very well together. You know, I grew up. I was the head pro at Houston Country Club, and Blaine and I became friends with all the team at University of Houston, and we joined forces. Dick Harmon played with Steve Elkington, and we showed that club pros can play as long as you have a good partner. You know, anytime I have Blaine as a partner, I really played better.
Yeah, well, you know, Charlie, Eric Cole doing very similar strategy this week as far as who he's playing with. I believe it's Russell Cochran, Charlie, as far as who Eric Cole's partner with at the Zurich is concerned. Going to have to get some confirmation on that. But Aaron Ryan, David Lipsky are tied in the lead at first at TPC Louisiana. They're tied with Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. Davis Thompson and Andrew Novak also in a tie for first. And then as far as the Veritex Bank Championship, where I'm at, you've got Griffin Wood in first place at 18-under. Frankie Sapp in the third is at 7 in a tied for second at 17-under with last week's winner, Tim Whiting. And then personally, I mean, I think my favorite going into the weekend is the big boy, Kyle Jones, at 12-under. I think he could make a run after what I saw yesterday. But we'll be right back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Get to some questions. And a preview for the Zurich this weekend. Back after this.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
All right, Charlie, Rookie of the Year, Eric Cole. I was kind of stuttering coming out of that last segment. I couldn't wrap my head around the name of the individual that Cole is playing with this week at the Zurich Classic. It's 65-year-old Russ Cochran. He lost in a playoff the 1992 Tour Championship to Craig Stadler. His son Kevin's out here at the Veritex Bank Championship this week. But Charlie, really a fun format is the point we're making here. You played alongside Blaine McAllister, PGA Tour winner Blaine McAllister, in the Zurich Classic, and just talk about, you know, that experience and playing alongside a student and having a top finish in a PGA Tour event.
Well, not only that, we were able to take two of our members from Houston Country Club along with us, and we played as a foursome, Evans Atwell and Dan Breen, and we had a wonderful time with them as a team. But then we had two different events going on, and Blaine and I, we partnered up, and it was four rounds of best ball. We didn't play the alternate shot. I'm not sure we'd come out the way we did in an alternate shot format, but it gave me an opportunity to be with Blaine in the heat, watch him a little more, try to help him see his tendencies, and also it really made me keep up with my game back in those days. I loved to, you know, I was in the golf business because I loved to play golf. I told Dick Harmon one day, I said, you know, if I wanted to sell shirts for a living, I'd have gone to work for Sears and Roebuck. But I became a club pro because I want to learn how to teach and I want to learn how to play and promote the game. And we did a lot of that back in the 70s and 80s.
Charlie, it's a question in from Rick and Katie on the subject of team golf. But Rick is wondering, he goes, Charlie, how do I get more team golf active at the club where I play every weekend? What are some games that we can put together to bring a little bit more of a team sense into the weekend rounds?
Well, you know, one of the things that you can do is, and a lot of the clubs, when the Ryder Cup started really to grab hold of everybody's imagination, a lot of the clubs started having Ryder Cup formats from one club to the next. Interclub is a good way to promote team competition, team camaraderie. That's a good word. You know, you can create the golf professionals, if given the carte blanche, they can create events that would suffice, you know, teamwork and well, they have father-son championships or father-daughter. Yeah. You know, all that is easy to get done, and that's what golf lends itself to. Everybody,
Charlie,
can play with everybody.
It's on the PGA Pro and the staff to put those events together. Is that right?
Yeah, sure it is. And 9 times out of 10, 29,000 golf professionals are working very hard to promote the game of golf, and I think one reason why golf is so popular today is because the PGA golf professionals, he or she, have worked very hard, and the PGA of America educates its members on how to do business and create, and we want to get people on the first tee and get them off the 18th green. You know, that's our job.
Yeah, we've been seeing at a lot of these PGA Tour events, LPGA Tour events, especially the ones that I've been at in the South, Charlie. You know, every Tuesday, Wednesday, right next to the range, they have a PGA of America tent set up, giving out free lessons to juniors. And that's what I don't think there's a better combination there. You know, a free lesson and then getting being able to watch the very best in the world play golf. I don't think there's a better formula for learning.
Yeah, well, look what's happened in Houston at Memorial Park, where the tour event has taken place, and Jim Crane and his team of professionals have raised a lot of money, and now we have a driving range that's just incredible. That during the off season, the Houston residents can go over there and practice and learn and work on their game. They got a great putting green, so the events that we have, you know, look at how many events you've had to cover here in Texas, you know, starting with the Houston Open, the San Antonio Open, the tournament up in Dallas, coming back for the senior event, then the ladies event. I mean
Charlie, the Invitational and the Byron is the same weekend. You got the Insperity Invitational in the Woodlands and the Byron Nelson in Dallas. I'll be at the Invitational in the Woodlands, but just going to show how much pro golf is in the state this year.
Yeah, well, and, you know, it's springtime, and it's a good time to play golf. And Texas is a place to be. We're getting overrun by a lot of people from Michigan and coming to the South and learning it doesn't snow down here. It gets a little hot in August, but I can put up with a little heat. I just can't put up with that snow.
On the subject of Memorial Park, we got a question from Jordan and Klein. Hey, Charlie, I've been going up to Memorial Park to hit ball since they had the Houston Open here. Why is the range always off mats? And is there any difference between hitting off mats and hitting off grass?
No, there's no difference, and it's maintenance. If you get, you know, at Memorial Park, they play you know, 90,000 rounds of golf, and if you just let the grass there, you'd chew it up. So the mats have become a very, very important part of learning, and you can learn a lot by hitting off a mat. You're not going to hurt yourself, and you have a good lie to be able to practice your new golf swing. There's a lot of, you know, great teachers at Memorial Park. They'll help you, you know, understand. You know, you got to get the right ball position to yep. hit it off of a mat. But a mat is a great solution to a lot of problems. So
almost like, you know, Charlie, I don't think amateurs working on their iron play should be afraid to tee it up on the range.
That's right. I mean, they have other types of, you know, they have two different types of plastic grass, if you will. One is a tight lie, and the other one has a little more of a fluffy lie, and they got a place where he can put the ball off of a tee. So it's progress. It's progress. Hit off a mat. The great, you know, Mickey Wright, she hit off, and she became the number one player, ladies in the world, hitting off a mat. She took her mat with her so that she could hit off of it.
Well, we got a lot to do in the last segment, and we'll be back on the program here in a few minutes. But as far as the Zurich Classic is concerned, you know, a couple shocking miscuts. You know, Will Zalatoris and Sith Gala are going to go home after shooting 6-under collectively through the first two rounds. Same with Tom Hoge and Maverick McNealy. You know, you would think after playing the Masters and playing the RBC, this is the third week in a row for a lot of guys, and the numbers would show. I mean, Charlie, I know, you know, I think we're all in agreement that, you know, most professional athletes could probably go, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks in a row. But I think the standard now and here in 2024 for the PGA Tour is guys don't play much more than 3 weeks in a row, and it seems like this week there is a lot of guys playing on their third week in a row. Big week at Augusta, big week at Hilton Head, not to baby anybody, but a lot of golf being played. Was also shocked to see Billy Horschel and Tyson Alexander miss the cut. Great to see, Charlie, great to see Billy Horschel back in the winner's circle last week at Corrales.
Yeah, that was a great victory for a guy that won the Tour Championship about 10 years ago. And he's a guy that you would think would win more often because he is such a disciplined player. He's got such a great athlete, and he's got a great swing. But sometimes this game and things in life, you know, distract you, whether it be, you know, a poor golf swing or a family problem or people get sick. You know, all sorts of things enter into a golfer's why they you know, go on a slump. I mean, think of the baseball players playing 164 games.
Look at Jose Abreu, Charlie, over at first base.
Oh, my. Have we gotten rid of him yet? I mean, gosh darn, I feel so sorry for him. I mean, he can't hit it. He can't hit it if they throw it to him underhand.
Yeah. Now, this ball club's got to get it together, Charlie. We got to go to break. Aaron Ryan, David Lipsky lead the way at the Zurich Classic. They're 14-1 heading into the weekend. And they're in a four-way tie for first with Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. You have Davis Thompson and Andrew Novak up there, Ryan Brim and Mark Hubbard. And watch out, Chandler Phillips and Jacob Bridgman are 4-under through 6, one back at 12-under, 100-1 to win currently. Watch out for Chandler Phillips. We'll discuss more on the Zurich Classic and answer a couple more questions in the final segment of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Back after this here on ESPN 97.5 Houston.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Nice to have you back with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Provided by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Charlie, I just got, you know, Golf Digest just published a story talking about, you know, NBC and Golf Channel's coverage. I think there's a couple questions being raised of the fact that guys like David Duval and Justin Leonard went and resumed their playing careers. You know, Noda Begay has cut back on his TV commitments. to accommodate for his senior schedule. We barely hear from Peter Jacobson anymore. You know, Paul Azinger's out the door. Getting some exciting personalities like Kevin Kisner and Smiley Kaufman, but a lot of the names that we have come to know, and the names like Roger Maltby and Gary Cook, who have definitely contributed to the ratings over the years, a little interesting to see them off the team there at Golf Channel, Charlie.
Yeah, I was disappointed to see those two not be on the team to broadcast majors and the TPC Players Championship. It takes a special person to broadcast golf. You have to have the knowledge and the patience and understand what to say and when to say it. So yeah, we miss those guys a lot.
Yeah,
and I don't know who's going to be the head and announcer for the U.S. Open on NBC.
Yeah,
we got to be careful there.
They don't know, Charlie. They've tried, you know, Smiley Kaufman in that play-by-play spot, Brad Faxon, Kevin Kisner. It still does not seem like they have their guy yet, but we'll keep you up to date there. I was just curious on just your thoughts on the broadcast so far this year. We know ratings are a little bit down, but at the same time, Charlie, there's more people on the golf course than ever before. So I don't think we really need to worry about ratings too much.
Well, exactly right, and they have the recorder. I mean, the recorder, yep, is a great tool for the golfer because, you know, golfers want to be out in the sunshine and watch the golf at night, and I think you can record a championship and watch it. And what I do is I also freeze frame the pictures, and I take pictures with my camera,
yep,
to learn more about what the greats are doing with their golf swing.
Charlie, let's get a question in from Max and Tomball, and then we'll go to some teaching stuff after this one. But Max says, Charlie, we heard this week that Rory McIlroy is rejoining the PGA Tour board after Webb Simpson's resignation. And it was only a few months ago that we heard Rory say he needed to leave the board to start focusing on his game again. Any thoughts there, Charlie? That's Max and Tomball.
The ebb and flow of personalities, and Rory is he's on both sides of the equation. I mean, he's done a wonderful job living in the United States and playing on the PGA Tour, and then he's moved back to Europe, and so he's got to live with his European teams, and he's got to come up with a solution where the Ryder Cup can accommodate, you know, the great players of the game, like John Rahm, and you know, I want to see those guys at the Ryder Cup.
Yep.
So having him part of that team, I think, is an advantage. It's certainly not a disadvantage, his opinion. He's a smart kid, and he has a lot of friends, and they'll give him good guidance to find a solution between LIV and the PGA Tour, and let's get this game, yep, going, you know.
Yep. And Charlie, he's going to have a nice opportunity to win this weekend in Louisiana alongside Shane Lowry. They're in a tie for the lead. You know, I know it's a team format, but I'm sure Rory will take the good scores and good success any way he can have it right now.
Yeah, I mean, this might break him out of a slump.
Yeah.
He haven't won in a long time, and he's playing with a friend of his, and this is going to be fun to watch. But I'm gonna.
Who do you got, Charlie?
I'm gonna record it so I can watch it. But I got to go with them to winning the event.
Rory and Shane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Now, while Rory had not been playing well going into this week, Shane has played some very good golf this year. So you've got Rory and Shane Lowry. I'll take the hot hand in Chandler Phillips and Jacob Bridgman. Who are at 12 under right now. They're one back. They're 4 under through six on the day. A little bit biased here. I like Chandler Phillips. He's a Texas guy. Went to Texas A&M. Had a great career there.
I don't know who Bridgman is.
Yeah, Jacob Bridgman, you know, another good player coming off the Corn Ferry Tour. You know, talk about a guy who was inside the ropes at tournaments like the Veritex Bank Championship. You know, he that's where he was prior to this year. And now he's making a name on the PGA Tour. And that group is number one in birdies so far this year. So, Charlie, you have Rory and Shane. I'll take Chandler Phillips and Jacob Bridgman.
How about Cantlay and Schauffele?
Yeah, they're right there. They are right there at 12 under, 65, 67 in the opening rounds. Pretty surprising, Charlie, that Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, neither one of them have recorded a PGA Tour win this season.
It's incredible. I don't know what's wrong with Cantlay. I mean, he stood up on 18 and hit it in the water and when, you know, they were tied for the lead. I mean, something's going on that I don't know about.
Okay, so we have our pick set there for the Zurich. Charlie, I want to take this last, 5 minutes and talk about, what you have going on with the Charlie Epps Scholarship. We're in year three. The first 2 years have been incredibly successful alongside Golf Club of Houston and the STPGA. Can we get a little bit of update as far as your scholarship and your tournament is concerned?
Yeah, this afternoon I get to call 11 kids and give them scholarships. Isn't that great? We've raised money that the good friends of Houston participate in my foundation tournament out of Golf Club of Houston, sponsored by Insperity, and we raise money. And over the years, we've given out a lot of scholarships in a very short period of time. It's because people like to give to the kids, and the kids are going through the Southern Texas PGA Junior Golf Program, learning golf, learning etiquette, learning how to do things, getting motivated. The Southern Texas PGA and all of its members do such a good job in running these tournaments for these kids, and they go on to colleges and they study, and we've got kids all over the United States that we give scholarships to. And so next week we'll announce the names. I'm going to call the kids today, but we'll announce the names next week.
That's spectacular news, Charlie. And I think, the game is such a useful tool. Charlie, it's great for these kids to dream big and want to turn pro and want to get their cards. But the game can also be such a great connector, just in the regular work world. So much can be learned from the game about everyday values and how to go about things the right way.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. And the parents are really happy that their kids, they have to apply for their scholarship. They have to write a paper why they deserve a scholarship, and they keep up their grades. And it's just a good way to stay in the game and learn from a game that is so rich in tradition and discipline and fun. So the Southern Texas PGA has a reach program that we want to reach kids from all walks of life and reward them with some money so that they can pursue their dreams in a higher education.
Yep, and Charlie, your partners at Insperity do the same thing. We'll see this week at the Insperity Invitational, tons of junior clinics, tons of, it's a Legends Champions Tour event, but Brian Nagel and the team over there are actively looking for ways that they can get younger members of the Woodlands and Houston community involved in the game, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of those clinics being put on. Annika always delivers a great clinic.
Yep,
it's just spectacular.
Well, and we want to remind the people and bring your families out. There's no cost to getting into the event, and there's plenty of entertainment. And there's plenty of, it's just a great day in the afternoon. The greats of golf are going to play Saturday afternoon in alternate shot, and best ball, and they're fun. And from Jack Nicklaus, who will be around, he'll be a coach. He's not going to play this year, but Gary Player is still playing at the ripe old age of 88, and Tom Watson's going to be here this year. It's just a great environment, and there's good parking, and we want to encourage everybody to come out, Tuesday through Sunday.
Yep.
And we crowned a champion on Sunday afternoon. That's a lot of fun. I see John Daly looks like Santa Claus.
Yep. He'll have his long drive contest out there. Charlie, there's been qualifier sites around Houston and Texas. They had a qualifier at Eastward 9 and a bunch of qualifiers around the state to come compete against John in a long drive competition at the Insperity Invitational. So post-knee replacements, you know, post-multiple operations, yep. You know, Daly can still put on a show.
He certainly can, and they got Annika Sorenstam. You have Nancy Lopez. You know, the greats of golf is really a treat to watch Saturday afternoon. So a lot of golf going on out at the tournament course at the Woodlands.
Charlie, great show today. We're out of here. We'll be with you back next Saturday. Charlie and I will be together at the Insperity Invitational. Great show today, Charlie, and thanks to our partners at Insperity. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference here on ESPN 97.5 Houston.